The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan. So today's episode is a topic that you probably wouldn't expect on a show about wealth, right? A show about wealth without Wall Street. Like, I want a practical, you know, bite into something that I can get my hands on and start building wealth. But today's not quite like that. And I think it's absolutely paramount. Russ, what are your thoughts?
Well, I like the episode. I mean, I like the interview. I think the information is powerful. But I am questioning, you know, how does this fit? Like, how does this fit within what we're trying to accomplish? It's not in the 5 pillars, I don't believe.
Okay. So let me just kind of advocate here. I'm going to advocate for it because at the bottom of each one of the pillars, if there's no foundation, what happens to them? They're going to crumble, right? If you, and here's the thing, I feel like I've seen it. We've all seen the headlines. Some of the most incredibly powerful and wealthy people in the world, they allow their personal, relational, spiritual, above all else, health to go by the wayside. And they think that they can handle themselves. And they let a pride sneak in. And guess what? All the things that they were really successful at from the worldly standards that we're used to seeing on the outset, they're gone. It's gone. It's like driving a wheel. The wheel has all these spokes on it. And part of that is your physical health. Part of that is your financial well-being. Part of that is your relational, your relationships and your relationship with God. And if any one of those things is busted, the whole entire wheel is running at best. I mean, it's falling apart. So that's why I'm saying today's episode is important.
Yeah. Well, I can see that. And I love the episode we did with Trey Lilivorn from Undone Redone. I mean, his ministry, I think, is going to hit home with a lot of people. You know, pornography is a real issue in this country. I mean, as a dad of a 14-year-old girl right now, like, we get alerts every week from the Covenant Eyes, the apps that we use to protect our internet and stuff. And it's amazing these little apps that my daughter downloads with games and things like that. Well, behind the scenes, stuff that she doesn't even see, doesn't even know what's going on, are connected to tons and tons of these, pornographic sites. It's crazy. Like, I don't even understand the connection. I don't even understand what they're doing. If she can't see it, why it even exists. But I know that we're being tempted at lots of different things. And I know our wealth, I mean, I've seen lots of people in and around our lives that have gone through divorce. And I know that impacts wealth tremendously. I'm grateful for our wives and our marriages. And I pray for those on a daily basis. And I know that this is an area that can break up marriage. So I do think it's an important topic. I definitely can see its touch to to wealth. So we're going to leave this to you. We want you to listen to this. Know that this is not our five pillars conversation, but when given the opportunity to talk to Traylor, we did an interview while we were at Podcast Movement back in, what was that, August, when we were down in,
right,
down in Orlando, and we were definitely moved. I know I was.
Well, I think the takeaway from this that you don't want to miss is that we all can be blinded to something that's going on. Just like you said, there's things going on behind the scenes. Whether we know it's happening or not, it's happening. And if you're not paying attention to those things, I think the moral of the story for me is start looking for them because they're there, and don't allow them to grow into something that ends up taking you off track.
Yeah.
This is too important. This is too important not to get distracted. So
I agree. I think this is going to be good. It's not your everyday episode, but that temptation and the focus of what is pulling us away. And as he gives the analogy of trying to keep a beach ball underneath water, the water, and it getting bigger and bigger. That was a great visual for me. And it may not be pornography for you, but it could be many things that could harm your relationships, which ultimately could, you know, destroy the wealth that we're trying to build. So let's jump into the interview with Traylor Levern.
Have you been listening to our podcast and wondering, am I the only person that knows about infinite banking? Or what about the five pillars of Wealth Without Wall Street? How can I learn more? Now is your chance. You can join the community that is learning this across the country.
Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com where you can access Q&As with all our podcast guests and live group coaching with some of the top experts from across the nation. And yes, I'm throwing in the stallion and I in that. community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Sign up.
Welcome into the show. We have Traylor Levern of Undone Redone in the studio. Actually, not in the studio, live at Podcast Movement, man. So glad to be able to do this interview with you.
This is a lot of fun. Here sitting beside you guys, when I tilt my head, I'll make sure that the audio comes through clear. But man, what a privilege to be on the podcast with you guys.
Well, it's amazing that we get an opportunity to sit down with you and have a conversation that dives so deep into many issues. Money, as we know, has many facets, and the love of it, the strive and success to try to achieve it can also lead us down a road. So if people are not familiar with your story, give us some background. How did you get to the point where you are? And let's dive deep into some of those things. I think this is going to be a huge interview.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wish I could take a big eraser, change a lot of the details of my story, but at the same time, very thankful for where I've been and what I've learned. And really my story is one of learning a lot through pain. And I spent a lifetime avoiding pain. One, because from my faith, I thought if I'm experiencing pain, that means I'm not doing life correctly. So that's what drove a lot of my shame is the pain. And so for me, I grew up in a small town, East Alabama, was the oldest of two boys. My dad was a high school All-American, so athletics was a big part of our growing up. My brother and I, he was a coach, then it ultimately became a principal. I liked him as a coach better than as a principal, actually. Yeah. Yeah. But I was exposed to a pornography stash when I was 8 years old. Mm. And that became the way, I didn't really know it at the time, but that's what I went to deal with the negative emotion that otherwise I didn't know how to deal with. And the best way I can describe it from that point on, it's like a beach ball. You know, the kids at the summer pool when they're playing and they keep the beach ball underwater and they play the game, and everybody on the pool deck knows it's a funny game because at some point the beach ball is going to come shooting to the surface with a lot of force.
Right.
And so my whole life was stuffing negative emotion. It was hiding things about myself that I didn't want people to know, and really just managing a reputation. I was trying to be the good kid, and I was a pretty good kid, but Dad was a principal, so I really didn't have a place to
A choice
to rebel. Yeah, so I was pretty good, and had been in church, you know, growing up, and really wanted, and actually then started preaching at 15. So by the time I graduated high school, I'd preached in over 250 churches, and so that now the beach ball keeps getting bigger, you know, but nobody can know, and so So for me, just learn to wear a mask and perform performance-based. You know, I knew my dad loved my athletic ability. Growing up, though, I wasn't so sure he loved me. And so I got the attaboys through my athletic ability, but what I was deeply longing for was that emotional connection with him. And so just internalized a lot of that, but came to Samford University in Birmingham, had an academic scholarship, but came to walk on to play basketball. And so that's what got me to Birmingham. So I was ready to leave the small town. And it was an opportunity to get into Birmingham, maybe get to be known for who I was. Because also growing up, my name, Trailer, last name, Lover, and everybody, you know, a lot of trailers and lots of Lover. And so just hearing my name, people kind of knew where I fit. And so that led into that mask. Well, I can't be me.
Right.
I need to be whatever the situation calls for. And so I just kind of learned to morph into that. So I came to Samford, was an opportunity to kind of take the mask off, but I quickly got labeled as the incoming freshman who had preached in all these churches. So I was like, well, I can't let these guys know. So it was another layer, you know, just doubling down, you know, stuffing the beach ball deeper. You know, nobody knew about my struggle, though. Met my wife, Melody, my freshman year. We married my junior year. I planted a church my junior year. So at 20 years old, I planted a church, still struggling. My parents soon joined the church. My youth director growing up, which is the closest thing to an older brother I had, he became my worship pastor. And so at 20 years old, struggling significantly in secret with my, now I'm my parents' pastor and my youth director's pastor. And I am, to describe the beach ball is now huge. And so much energy just went into covering that up. I did get married that same year. Thought marriage is going to fix the problem, as many men do. Pornography will go away. Sexual struggle will go away. And when it didn't, it took my shame to a deeper level.
Oh, wow. Now you have something else to hide.
Absolutely.
And to hide it from.
Absolutely. Because it's easy to hide when you're single.
Right.
Easier. But when you're married, now living in close proximity to somebody, you know, it's very hard to hide. And so that became an issue. So 10 years of marriage, the beach ball came shooting to the surface. Mm. And it was enormous by that time. By that point, it had already crossed into things that I swore I'd never do. Actually, it crossed into infidelity. And so now the secrets that I had were enormous. You know, so I never told Melody about the pornography problem. Yeah, so now there's infidelity. There's all these other things. And so when she found out, it was devastating for her. We obviously, to say it was a devastating time would be an understatement. So and really, money was a big piece of that. And I'll kind of get into what I refer to often as my orphan mentality. You know, that if it is to be, it's up to me. And money was such a key part of that because I was in commission only sales and feeling less than a man. And for me, that was, I'm not providing enough.
Mm.
And Melody, when she was not feeling the security of being provided for, part of the way she grew up, she would kind of beat me up about that thing. And in her mind thinking, hey, if I beat him up enough, he'll change this.
It'll motivate him.
Yeah, he'll be motivated. Well, I was already beating myself up.
Right.
Yeah. You know, internally. And so I had this inner critic that was relentless inside. And so it was just really hard. So in commission only sales for a lot of those years. And it was literally a door to door, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Not my personality at all. I did it for a year and I would drive up, meet the business owner, go through my spiel. And in 25 minutes, try to walk out with a $500 subscription check.
Right.
And it was just knocking on doors and getting so much rejection. And not making the money. There were some Thursdays and Fridays I was at the Birmingham Library doing genealogical research. I just could not get out there and take any more rejection. But then theologically, what I did is, that was going to be the days that God was going to really open up the doors and provide. And I didn't give him a chance because I was not out there hitting the pavement. And so then Monday morning, it would just be more bootstraps. All right, this is the week. I'm going to really make it rain and, you know, just all this money. And so it's just that constant thing. But my theology, though, the shame that I felt is that, you know, it was kind of a meet God halfway theology, that God does his part, but I got to do my part. And I right. knew I was completely messing up my end of the deal. So it was like, almost like my theology was, I've just completely tied God's hands. You know, he can't do anything here. And so I felt like an orphan financially. You know, instead of seeing God as my provider, I was like, well, he's over there with crossed arms watching, wondering why I can't do a better job of providing. Well, I keep wasting all this time doing things I know I shouldn't do. So anyway, it blew up. We divorced ultimately in 2002. Melody gave me so much grace and so many opportunities and chances, but I never was able to get into the root issues until after the divorce, the things that were underlying all that was driving the behavior.
Well, when we were talking last night, we were just sitting there going through your story and you were sharing some things. And I felt like you gave an analogy that really hit home, is that a lot of people, when it comes to issues like this, whether it's pornography, it's addiction, substance, whatever it may be, maybe for some people it's eating addictions, because this isn't just male, this is male and female.
Absolutely.
And your ministry is crossing all those different borders. But you made the point that a lot of times people, if we look at this like a tree, people go and they just cut off a limb. So they go, oh man, I'm going to solve this pornography. So I'm going to just quit, you know, quit going to it. I'm going to shut off, subscriptions to whatever. I'm not going to, have Cinemax or whatever that my outlet is to access this. And what ends up happening is they grow another.
Yeah. They another go to limb, other branches. Right? Yeah. And so that's what I was doing. And so many of the men who come into our ministry, that's initially what they're looking to do. Help me saw off this branch. Because we see the unwanted behavior that we're not wanting to continue. And so we're looking for a sharper saw, a better saw, a newer saw, a different saw. But ultimately, it's all about sawing off the branch. And that's certainly understandable because we want to remove the behavior. What I didn't understand, though, is like any tree, you can saw off branches all day long. But until the roots have been dealt with, the branches keep growing back. And often, as you mentioned, while we're waiting for that branch, or while that branch is growing back, we're often hanging out on another branch, maybe that's more socially acceptable. Could be work. It could be alcohol. It could be some other things that we're still medicating those underlying things. And so I had to do the painful journey of going into those root issues. And what I found, and I've been working with men now really since 2009, and also coming through my own story, is that as men, we're not given permission often to feel. And especially if some of that root stuff has happened way in the past, it's easy to say, oh, that was way in the past. That doesn't impact me now in the present. But the best way I can describe it, it's almost like the big T or little T traumas from our past, the things that have happened. It's like having a computer open and you've got all these apps or files open in the background that are running, taking up processing speed. You may not know they're open, but it's certainly impacting. It impacts the way we see the world. And certainly that was happening with me. And so I was able to finally, one, say, I can't fix this on my own. Because trust me, I had a lot of opportunities and was very motivated to fix it on my own. Because part of my theology, I was trying to protect God's reputation, with this. Like he needed me to protect his reputation, right. In that. But that was part of what was motivating me to keep it a secret, keep that beach ball underwater. And, to finally realize that, someone else outside of me has got to help me really understand this. Because when we live it, it's like we don't see the forest for the trees.
That's right.
It's our reality. It's our normal. And it takes someone outside who's got the training to really help us know how that impacted us. And just, I think for men, anybody who's listening, say, hey, things do impact us and it does still show up. And we need to learn to feel the full range of emotions. And that was certainly my whole thing. I think I shared last night. I took great pride in being the even keeled.
Not feeling showing emotion.
Yeah. And that was some kind of spiritual, superiority kind of thing. Like,
right.
Look at that Trey. He doesn't feel anything. Nothing phases him. But I was a walking dead man. I mean, that's, you look at an EKG, a flat line is pretty negative. It means you're dead. Right?
You're not going in the right direction.
No, exactly. And so learning the highs and lows, that's life. And learning how to manage that. And that really is a word that I've come to understand from my own. I needed emotional resiliency. And I didn't have that. I didn't know what to do with emotion. So I just stuffed emotion. And I found that that's a lot of what men and some women do as well. And for me, finances was one of the big things. See, here's proof I'm not doing it right.
Right. So that was almost feeding the ongoing issue.
Exactly.
So let me back up a second. Something that you said was private, secret. And I'm just thinking, okay, I'm listening to this. Someone else is listening to this and they're saying, I mean, Trey, like that's secret. It's something that I'm dealing with, but it doesn't affect anybody else. Yeah. So what would you say to that person?
Yeah, well, we have a saying that we often refer to in our recovery ministry, that we're only as sick as our secrets. And for me, I thought it was all secret just impacting me, but really it was the secret that was like a cancer that was growing on the inside. Because I was constantly trying to numb out. I was trying to not feel it. And also when you've got secrets, you're living at least a double life, if not a triple life. I remember I couldn't show up fully present in the moment because I was constantly 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps ahead of every conversation, wondering, feeling, you know, how, who's perceiving what, maybe who, oh, I saw a flash there. That may mean somebody's on to me. And maybe
it's sort of like you're trying to deal with an emotional Ponzi scheme, if you will.
Absolutely. That's a great way of putting it. And so you're, yeah, just, and now to be able to live without secrets, you know, to be able to, hey, my yes is my yes, is my no is my no. I don't have to, what have I told you? What have I not told you? What do you know? What do you not know? Which version of Trey do you know?
Right.
You know,
it's exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting. And I didn't realize how exhausting, I think, until finally when the beach ball came up and Melody found out. It was hard. It was awful. It was like I'd backed up a dump truck of crap and put it all over her. But for me, there was a part of that that was freeing too, because finally that weight had been lifted and I could really start, and it was a painful journey, but starting to look honestly at my own brokenness.
So let me ask this. So someone's listening, they say, okay, pornography is not a big deal to me. Either they're not dealing with it or they don't see it as a big deal, but you've dealt with potentially hundreds of men or women in these kind of crisis situations. What are some of the things, the symptoms that you've seen that where it all started for them?
Yeah.
And other people.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a medicating element here. Because really when it comes to pornography, it's the dopamine rush. That's the real piece that they're really after and that's what I was addicted to. It was that chemical hit, that oxytocin, serotonin, the dopamine, that piece is what I was really running. That's what made me feel better. And over and over and over, took more and more of that to actually, you know, feel better. And so that's for someone who's really understanding. And usually it's an early exposure, because there's addictive elements to that. And even, you know, females are 40% right now. The last stats I heard of internet pornography traffic is driven by females. It's not just a male issue now, as we may often, you know, refer to that as. But many are going to that as a way of numbing. And it's so easy to hide, because with alcohol, drugs, somebody else has got to know, right? You've got to have a dealer, a provider, you know. Well, now we're all running around with HD TVs in our pocket, right? It's very, very easy to hide. And so it is
super accessible.
Yeah, for a lot of Christian, it's a drug of choice in men, because it is so easy to hide. Many, many pastors are struggling in secret, you know, because they don't know how to deal with their emotions, or they don't feel safe with their emotions. That's where they're running, maybe. Because think about pornography. It helps us feel like a man without actually having to be a man. She's always smiling. She's always glad to see us. She's always, you know, there's no fear of rejection, you know. And so we get that feeling that we're craving without, you know, it's totally false and fake.
Though. Well, talk to a minute. We were actually talking to someone ahead of the show and actually about our interview with you. And one of the things he said is, aren't we all in some way, shape, or form, when we're talking about money in particular, okay, to a certain degree, we're seeking success at some future date and missing the blessings and the good things about our lives today. So speak to that a little bit in light of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and that was me. I mean, always living for the future. I never could be okay in the moment. And that's been a big part of really what I refer to as wholehearted living, is learning to live fully integrated in my whole heart, meaning I'm okay with who I am right now. I'm not living for the next high, the next big event, or whatever.
Once I get to this level,
that's
or
right.
Once I make this amount of money, or
that's
this
right.
portfolio, whatever.
That's right. And I think for me, the work that I really had to do, if you really boil it down, was identity work. Is looking back over my life, I really did not know who I was in my true identity. I did not know who I was as a man. I misunderstood a lot of things about my faith, as far as identity there in Christ. And so because of that, the first marriage, in a lot of ways, I was sucking the life out of Melody. I was trying to basically subconsciously demanding that she tell me that I was a man and that I had what it took. Well, and when she couldn't, and no woman could, that's not what they're designed for. That's God who does that. I would run to pornography because I needed that female validation. You know, and even, you know, even Christ, there was validation there, you know, for him, you know, as he was at verbal affirmation at his baptism, you know, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased.
Right.
And for me growing up, I didn't really get that. And I think a lot of men that I work with haven't had that. And so I believe masculinity is bestowed. And I believe that happens in the fellowship of men. And so that fourth of our true identity, when another man sees that masculinity and calls it forth, I think there's something powerful that happens there. But many men, we are kind of orphaned. We've never had that experience. Mm-hmm. Our culture, we don't have a coming of age, kind of thing.
We're used to being islands.
That's right. And hey, we're men. We're supposed to have it all together. We're supposed to have all the answers.
Yeah.
Supposed to be able to fix anything. That's what a man does. But many of us have never been taught. And so we just fake it. We just cover up or we avoid being exposed.
Well, you hit on a nail there. I think, and we've said this on our show in the past, that a lot of things that we've learned, we gathered at the age of 5 and 6, and we carry forward into our life. And that's where those roots, as we were talking about that proverbial tree area, yeah. That's where that information comes from. And whatever it is, we start trying to reach success, and whether it's our jobs, it's passive income. I want to be financially free. I want to leave this job, whatever it may be. We start chasing things, but really we're trying to fill a void. And we see this in Hollywood and in athletes and other people who we believe they have accomplished everything, but yet they're in life and you see train wrecks happening. You're like, they've got everything. But it goes back to they're trying to fill a void and they're filling it with the visual, the tangible, and not dealing with those hard issues that go down deep. So when you're in your ministry and you're having these conversations, help us understand like where you're seeing these people make transformation. Where are they're really starting to identify with these issues that happened maybe early on as a kid, and whatever it was that's helping them like cut those roots out so they really can replant the tree.
Yeah, I think for the men that I work with, and I have a lot of conversations you can imagine over coffee that, they tell me their story, everything's just blown up, and they're terrified if they're married, they're about to lose their family.
Right.
And I get that fear. I've lived that. And I speak to that fear, but also tell them that, hey, I know you want to save your family, but we don't have any guarantee there, but we can save you.
Yeah.
And helping them realize that they're worth a better story, that they're worth pursuing something, that pornography is also detrimental to them. Because many of them say, well, if I'm single, then this is what men do. And that's a fallacy as well. And so really inviting these men and what I say to them is, listen, if your wife stays or she goes, your path is the same path. If you're really discovering or wanting to be whole and be on a path toward healing, because if she leaves and then they choose a different path and they have to wonder, is this really the path? Because was it really all about her to begin with? And that's never going to be motivating enough just to save the family. And so what I'm really inviting men to is a journey into their pain. And that's a very unpopular thing to talk about, because
that sounds terrible.
Yeah. We all want to avoid pain. Because what they're coming for, they're looking for the Band-Aid and the Novocaine. And the illustration I use is, a quick story. This is where I learned it in my own journey. I have time for a quick story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I am, it's 2 years after the divorce. I am overcommitted on child support. And there's a looming court date. And I have no idea how I'm not going to be in an orange jumpsuit in a couple of weeks. Mm. And stressed to the max. I'm making my living as a creative, doing web design and all that. And nothing goes quicker when you're financially stressed than creativity.
Yes.
And so in that place, well, my parents, and I'm still trying every 2 weeks to be as a father and not just work all the time, but I'm in this catch-22. I've got to work, but yet I need to be present with my family, and just all that was snowballing. So my parents had gotten a place at the beach, and they invited me and the kids to go. And so I said, yeah, that'd be great. I'll play with them. And then afterwards, I'll deal with this other stuff. So on the way down, my youngest son, he gets out, he's vivacious. He jumps out of the car quick and he scrapes his toe on the little riser at the gas pump. No big deal. Bled a little bit. We cleaned it up, but we get there. It's a Sunday, put the kids down. And then I'm out on the beach and I am just screaming at the heavens, Lord, doesn't she know that if I go to jail, she's not going to get anything. I'm trying to do my best here. Can't she be reasonable? All that. I'm just having it out there, journaling and just crying out. So Monday, kind of same thing, play with the kids. Monday night, I'm back out on the beach doing the same thing. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday, I'm out on the balcony and I'm journaling. And Gabe comes bebopping out to where I am. And I look down at his toe, and his right foot, big toe, it looked like a little cherry tomato. It was infected. It was swollen, like it was about to pop.
Oh, wow.
From where it had gotten scraped the Sunday before. And I said, without thinking, Gabe, your toe's infected. It's going to hurt. But daddy's got to make it hurt in order for it to get better. And guys, as soon as I said that out loud, it's like God said to me, Trey, daddy's got to make it hurt in order for it to get better. And that's the best example I can give, because in that point, it completely shifted for me. Because up until that point, my whole life had been avoiding pain, because I thought good Christians, the people who are doing it right, you don't feel pain. And so if I'm feeling pain, here's my proof I'm doing it wrong. But that introduced me to this idea of healing pain. Think about going to a surgeon. There's healing pain there, right? There's a scalpel that's involved. It's either the pain of the disease or the pain of the surgery, but pain either way. And so what I'm inviting men to is a journey into their pain so that they can find true healing. Because if we spend our whole life avoiding pain or numbing it out or just selling for the Band-Aid, the deeper infection, those deeper root issues never get dealt with. And so true healing can't really begin, like in his toe, true healing couldn't start until the infection got out.
Well, that, I think everybody's going to have that picture in their head of that story. So thank you for sharing that. I want to cover something real quick before we run out of time. You were highlighted in a movie recently.
Yes.
So tell us about The Heart of Man and what that was all about.
Yeah. So I guess it was 2000, maybe 15. We got approached some guys who were making a film as a follow-up film to a film that they had done as a documentary called Rape for Profit on the sexual exploitation industry there in the Seattle area. And they were doing a follow-up film called The Heart of Man. And had heard about our story. We did some Skype interviews. They wanted us to be a part of that film. And so we're one of about four or five stories that are featured in the film. But the beautiful part of them is they reenact and recreate the Luke 15 story of the prodigal son. And it's beautifully done. They went to the Big Island of Hawaii. Unfortunately, we didn't get to make that trip. We went to Seattle for our interview. I told one of the guys, hey, I could have held a microphone, you know. I can be, what they call that, a grip? I can be a grip. But we didn't get to make that trip. But it's beautifully done, beautifully shot. The music that Tony Anderson, who's a composer, he's also in the film, sharing some of his story, does is amazing. But it really, if we went out and did a movie to showcase what our ministry is about, that we couldn't have done more clear what The Heart of Man provides. And it is a relentless pursuit of the Father, even in our brokenness. And that's frankly what we didn't believe. Melody and I both kind of had this background that he loves us when we do good and he's pissed and angry when we mess up. Yeah. And we got to do enough good to keep him happy. We got to earn
to even out
smile.
The scales.
That's right. We got to earn that smile.
Right.
And the transforming power of grace was that we've already got his smile. And that's what I began to get into, to understand that. And that's what brought about true transformation.
Well, I just watched the trailer and I was like completely like sucked in on it. And yeah. Just kind of what you were talking about a second ago, and I'm probably going to misquote this, but through that, there was a part where it kind of highlighted that this pain struggle that you were going through at one time was looked upon as a barrier, but ultimately became a bridge. Am
Absolutely.
I right in that?
Absolutely.
So I see your story in that. And if you're listening to this, whether it's you or somebody you know, I mean, success is one of those things that we're always looking for. And we always say success leaves clues.
Right.
But there's also these clues that are also lying around that says maybe we're struggling with some issues that we need to get deeper in. And Trailer, so if somebody wanted to reach out and try to find more about your ministry and how they can get plugged in or even point someone to that, how would they do that?
Yeah, so best place to go to is undoneredone.com. That's just like it sounds, all one word, all lowercase, undoneredone.com. All of our resources are there. We do have different initiatives. We have a parenting initiative called My Secure Family you'll find there. Our recovery initiative is Route 1520. It's also there on the website. We also do a weekly podcast called Undone Redone as well. And also have a YouTube channel. So all those places they can find.
And I don't know if we clearly stated this, but I'm going to steal your line, but congratulations on your divorce.
Yeah.
Or
it didn't
your
work
failed
out.
Divorce.
That's right.
Your failed divorce.
Yeah, our divorce did not work out.
And we were happy about that.
That's right.
Well, awesome to have you here. Amazing time to be amongst all these different podcasters and to be with you as a podcaster as well. You also have a podcast. Did you share that a second ago?
Yeah, undoneredone.com. I mean, Undone Redone is our podcast.
So here's my takeaway from our interview today and my hope and prayer for anybody listening to this right now. You had to go through the pain to be basically healed. My hope is that someone is hearing this and saying, you know what, in my pursuit of all these things that are good things, if I take a step back now, I may not have to go through all that you did, right? Is that, I mean, that's my goal with this podcast today, is that people do not miss the forest for the trees and they yes. keep running after success and all these things. These are good things,
but
don't miss that all these things are connected. We just interviewed Jack Gibson a while back and he talked about the five different types of wealth. One of those was relational. One of those was spiritual. And if those things are out of whack, we can never be successful in these other areas. So man, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this and helping us in this pursuit.
My pleasure. So glad to be here.
Well, thank you again for listening to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. As always, subscribe to the show, share this with other people, and look forward to having you at the next episode.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.